Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Go ahead.
It ruins my watching of the game to some degree. You know, that you watch and you just go, really? And now they all got cards. They can't even think through a two-point versus one-point decision. They can't think it through. They got to have a card tell them. It's like GPS. Hey, where's the White House? I don't know. How long you live here? 47 years? You don't know what the damn White House is?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Wilbon was great yesterday.
Wasn't he?
He was unleashed. He was just completely nuts.
He texted me and said, sorry, I was a little bit riled up today.
No, it was brilliant. Great. He was great. Some news. Tim Kirkchin, can you tell people what happened with Timmy?
Yes, now I have to bring it up again my phone. But yeah, he got a very, very well-deserved award and is essentially going in to the Hall of Fame.
The Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the 2000...
Cooperstown, New York.
Yeah, 2022...
2 blocks away from the Otisaga Hotel.
Now, I've got to go there sometime.
That's great.
I really do. But yes, he's the 2022 winner of the Baseball Writers Association of America Career Excellence Award.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that?
That's wonderful.
And it lists and all the write-ups.
Does
about
he get
it.
To pick the dinner they have? Because he could have avocado. is it like the Masters? Do you get to say what the menu is?
I am not sure.
Tim Kirkchin, boys and girls.
Could get the Tom Turkey dinner at the Otisaga.
Tom Turkey dinner was great. It's great. It's right on the menu. Tom Turkey.
I doubt he's going to be staying at the Mohican Motel.
Yeah, that was... How do you remember that? Your memory is scary. The Mohican Motel was the first time I ever went to Cooperstown, and I went with my parents, and we just pulled in on the side of the road to some dive. The Mohican Motel is still there. We're still there one of the times
we
were
there. So we drove about 20 minutes outside of Cooperstown to go to that. Was it a diner where we met? I got to meet that former Yankee.
Oh, yeah, Cleet Boyer. Yeah.
That's when we passed the Mohican Motel.
Yeah, the Mohican Motel.
And that's when I realized... Things have changed.
Yeah, that's when you realized, whoa, I'm doing better as a kid than my father did as a kid, because I'm not staying at the Mohican Motel. I'm staying in a nice room in the Otisaga. I got a letter here from Greg Gania or Gania. Listen to what he does. The assistant general manager and the team broadcaster for the Erie Seawolves, a minor league baseball team. Assistant GM and team broadcaster. Erie, Pennsylvania, kids. Dear Tony. Hope this letter finds you well. During the 2021 season, the Erie Seawolves hosted a 25th anniversary celebration of the movie That Thing You Do at the ballpark. Now, why would they do that? Because the Oneaters were from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Erie, PA.
That appliance store was in Erie, Pennsylvania. It was a project almost 16 months in the making, and despite the best efforts of COVID-19 throwing a wrench into just about every plan we had, we pulled off an amazing event. Given that the movie was fictitiously set in Erie, Pennsylvania, we've had numerous promotional plans to somehow incorporate a theme night around the movie. In every year of planning, it was the last thing we left on the cutting room floor until the right situation made sense. On April 1st, 2020, the team put out a tweet that we'd play a game as the Erie Wonders if the initial tweet collected a certain number of impressions. If the tweet flopped, it would be chalked up as an April Fool's joke. If we succeeded as intended, we knew we had something good cooking. The tweet didn't flop, and almost immediately, people started to engage the actors from the film on the social platform. Tom Everett Scott, and I believe he plays the drummer.
Yes, Scott. Oh,
Shades. Scott.
Yeah, Shades.
Shades. Responded, and we started a private dialogue, and at the time, he and I both knew that this had the makings of a great event. After numerous calls, emails, texts, and Zoom calls with Tom, Jonathan Sache, I guess, or Skache, Steve Zahn, and Ethan Embry, we picked a date for the 2021 season. We rolled out the event. The night featured a VIP meet and greet with the actors. How great is that? Autograph session, engagement with fans, and a viewing party of the movie on the video board after the game. The team wore special Erie Wonders jerseys, and all of the in-game entertainment was centered around the movie. Unfortunately, due to COVID protocols, Ethan was unable to attend because of his current show and their travel restrictions, but we even had him via Zoom for our panel. We raised over $25,000 for No Disability, a nonprofit that helps students with dyslexia. Three of the four Wonders suffer from dyslexia, so it made the charitable efforts even more special for them. The event has already won the Ballpark Digest Promotion of the Year and four PRSA Gold Niagara Awards. We're also a nominee for a Golden Bobblehead at the Baseball Winter Meetings in Orlando next week. Once we found out you were a fan of the movie, we had our uniform partners at Wilson create a special Kornheiser jersey with the number 25, signifying the 25th anniversary of the film. If you'd like to check out our panel discussion and the unveil video for the event, it's currently up on our YouTube page, and it's just YouTube, the Erie Seawolves. Enjoy the jersey. If you're ever in the Erie area during baseball season, please let us know. That is so kind.
Isn't that
and
lovely?
So nice. And the jersey's really nice.
Yeah, just...
I mean, it's not, you know...
It looks like they spelled the name wrong on the front.
Because it says Wonders.
Yes,
Oneidas. It doesn't say Oneidas. It actually says Wonders.
But now I'm going down the rabbit hole, and I think they could do a great specialty theme night where they bring out bobbleheads and special jerseys for Cap'n Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
Yeah.
Like a Friday night.
Yeah. It's really nice. And I'm, of course, going to bequeath this jersey to the boys, to Bootsy and
I'm Hammer. Playing the soundtrack for the boys this afternoon when they get home from school.
It's just great.
They do sing
it's
Little Wild great. One a lot to them.
But they couldn't get Steve Tyler's daughter, huh?
Oh, I guess not.
No, couldn't get her.
Yeah.
Liv Tyler.
By the way, I want to thank Richard Justice, who helped facilitate all of this.
That's just really great.
Yeah, isn't that lovely?
Really great. Another thing to talk about. This comes from Barry Winkler, Professor Emeritus of Biomedical Sciences at Oakland University in Rochester, Minnesota. I'm a 1965 graduate of Harper College, and indeed, that was what it was called. Binghamton was then Harper College, H-A-R-P-U-R. I write to let you know that the 61-62 Harper College men's basketball team will be inducted into the Binghamton University Athletics Hall of Fame on December 11th. So that's this coming Saturday, and I know that date because it's my daughter's birthday. I was a freshman bench player on that team. I played all four of my years at Harper. Attached, you will find background information about the 61-62 team and its accomplishments on the court. Perhaps you will consider giving the team a shout-out this week. So does he want it? Does he want it on PTI? I can't even get in. Wilbon takes it all the way to the limit. I can't even say anything anymore. You know, or is it okay if we do it here on the podcast?
I think what we give is what we give.
Of additional note, the team is the first men's basketball team in the history of Harper and Binghamton University to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. The attached document is his nomination letter. And he said, I should also say, I was a good friend of Jay Lovinger, my late friend Jay Lovinger, who was an editor of mine and who was very, very talented, whom I know you loved and respected when we were at Harper. Jay and I spent many days and nights playing poker. I don't believe I did very well. Jay was a sharp. Should you fulfill this request, it'd be fantastic. Perhaps you could give me a heads up when you do a shout out. I would alert my teammates to this honor. So we're doing it right here. It'll be tough to do. I'm telling you, Wilbon doesn't give me any time to do anything.
Boxes
but
out.
You know, this is before my time at Harper, but I recognize the name Barry Winkler. I do recognize the name. There were some really good players on that particular team. Jim Davis and Mickey Greenberg were the best of them. Mickey Greenberg played in the Eastern League, in the minor leagues, you know, right under the NBA. I mean, he's probably the greatest player to ever play at Harper College. So he played a couple of years also against the Globetrotters. He was on the Washington Generals for a couple of years. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to get to, and then I'll shut up, was I went to the doctor yesterday. I went to Dr. Richard Rubin, my cardiologist, who once again said, oh, no, you can't shovel. You've got a strapping young son. Let him shovel.
You got grandkids.
Yeah. Well, they're tiny.
Well, you put them one on top of the other.
That's a pretty
good idea.
Like
6'6".
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. And so I went to get a stress test and to get a heart evaluation. And I wasn't particularly nervous about it. Perhaps I should have been. One of the things that happened, I told this to Michael before we started the show, is he asked me, how tall are you? And I said, well, my son says I'm shrinking, so I'm probably down about 5'10". He says, what do you weigh? I said, I don't know, about 175 now. He says, okay. And he wrote those down.
Program weight.
And I just thought that maybe... I thought a doctor's office had a scale. What if I'd said 135?
Hey, does this thing work?
You know, I mean, just so odd. Anyway, they take pictures of your heart while you're alive. You know, from outside your skin. What is that called? Sonar something or I don't know. They put gel on your body.
Ultrasound?
Oh, ultrasound.
Yes.
Ultrasound. They put gel on your body. They attach 1,000 electrodes to your chest and your arms.
Searching for a heartbeat.
Yeah. And they, people would say he doesn't even have a heart. So they.
I did say that.
Yeah. They do that and they take pictures. They take pictures of your heart at rest And then they put you on a treadmill for, I don't know how long, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. It wasn't really long.
Incline?
Yeah, well, you know, you're going slowly, and then they build you up, and you get, there's a target heart rate.
And you talk the entire time.
You talk the entire time. And that's, you know, it's good for me to talk, and I was talking with the doc. You know, he's got a son who goes to Wake Forest. We were talking about Wake Forest football, talking about golf. Talking about the fact that, Michael, you had said that it looked like I got a little sneaky long the last time we played.
Well, let's take a trip down and play Old Town.
You know, yeah, I mean, that would be okay. We could do that. So, isn't Peter Jennings a member there?
I don't know.
I thought he was a member there. Okay, not that Peter Jennings, our Peter Jennings.
Peter Jennings.
Anyway, so I was mentioning that my son had said, you know, part of it might have been that I've been doing planks lately, and that gives you a little bit more core strength. And then the doc said, yeah, you're probably getting through the ball a little bit better. You're not stopping at the top.
Yeah, support
you're
getting all that
the way swing. Through. Yeah, so we had this chat, and I reached the target rate, and everything was fine. And then he said, your heart's fine. And he showed me pictures. This is pictures of my heart. Now, and then there's like blue and orange, and one is the blood coming in, and one is the blood going out, and he says, you see over here on the left, that's your heart at rest, and everything looks good, and here's your heart really working hard when we get you up to the target rate, and that still looks good. And I just thought, why should I believe that's my heart? why don't we really concede that that's just a generic video of anybody's heart, or it's just made up stuff?
B-footage.
And he knew that I was okay, so he made me feel good by showing me these pictures. You know, am I too cynical when I say that? And anyway, and also I have to say it's sort of freakish if it was my heart. It just sort of was freakish because it's inside my body. And they're able to take these pictures.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to the first pictures we got of the boys, you know, at the various stages where you're searching for, they have target, you know, weeks and, you know, body parts that they're searching for. And I just
very weird. It was just very weird. Look, I'm grateful that, you know, it doesn't mean my heart will be good this evening, but it was good yesterday morning. And so, I'm very grateful. And I like Dr. Richard Rubin a lot. I like him a lot. I've seen him five times over a 10, 12-year period.
Now thinking about your health, can we address something that's on the armoire here in the dining room?
What?
I come in this morning, Naj, and I look up. He thinks it's a packet of potpourri.
Yeah, I'm like, is that potpourri up there? No, that's an 8-pound bag of gummy bears.
Gummy bears. Haribo. A giant bag of Haribo gummy bears that I'm getting ready to open when I get through my dark russet potato chips. Yeah, when I finish those tonight, I'm getting ready to open those.
We were here last Thursday for the candle lighting. I show up at our house and Liz pulls out of her bag, like a clear plastic bag opened that I guess was the half-eaten bag of gummy bears that you had tossed to her.
I gave them to her. She said she liked them.
They were fantastic.
Right. So you might get some of these down the road after I open them. Yes, it's a six-pound bag.
It's huge.
It's big. It's big. Haribo. All right, I like it.
Who lifted that out of the car?
Yeah. Oh, no, that came in a box. That was shipped. Bonnie gets it done.
Oh.
Bonnie got me the Haribos. I had to wait 3 weeks for them. They're on back order.
Shipping delays.
Yeah. Oh, well, sure. From Germany, yeah.
Are they from Germany? Is that where they're from?
I think Haribo is from Germany. Why did I think
they were from Japan?
Did I tell you what happened to our couch?
Look at that.
You know the couch that we went to purchase right after we closed on our new house?
Yeah.
So we ordered this couch the week of July 4th.
Right.
Okay. And they said,
get it?
Did we get it? What do you think would be a reasonable delay for a couch?
2 months.
2 months. I would take 2 months and I would pay a premium for 2 months. They say everyone else is putting different parts in. You're not getting the fabrics. You're not getting the same craftsmanship. Okay, we'll commit. We'll buy this couch in July. We'll buy part of it right now. Delivery date, February.
February?
We got an email yesterday that this couch will not arrive at our house until the end of March.
But they have your money. They've already spent your money.
We think.
That's not right.
I think we paid some, you know, it's probably paid half up front and half for delivery, but we now are still out of a couch.
That's a tremendously long time. Am I right on Japan?
You are incorrect. It's Germany.
It's Germany, okay.
Yes. Oh. Hans Riegel Sr. invented them in 1920.
He invented the gummy bear?
Yes, he's a confectioner from Bonn, it says, and he was inspired by the trained bear seen at street festivals and markets in Europe throughout the 19th century.
He's a god.
Yeah, there you go.
That's one of the great candies of all time. That ought to be in the Candy Hall of Fame.
It should be. It should be in the Toy
gummy
Hall of
bears.
Fame. It's that good.
Yeah, it's really good. All right, we'll take a break. Booger McFarlane when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Simply Safe ad. If you've ever wanted to make your home feel safer, there's no better time than now. Let me just say that you could write that sentence any day of any year of any era, and it would still be true.
Yes.
This week, Simply Safe is giving listeners early access to all of their holiday deals, 40% off their award-winning home security. Simply Safe has everything you need to make your home safe, indoor and outdoor cameras, comprehensive sensors, all monitored around the clock by trained professionals who send help the instant you need it. Simply Safe was named Best Home Security System of 2021 by U.S. News & World Report. I'm just going to go off the script here and just say that when I walk the dog, when I walk Chessie around the neighborhood, increasingly, I see Simply Safe signs.
Sure.
I do. So it must be gaining in popularity.
All over D.C.
Yeah, it must be gaining in popularity. What does that tell you? These are Simply Safe's biggest discounts of the year. You can get a complete home security system starting at just over $100. And there are no long-term contracts or commitments. It's a really easy way to start feeling a bit more peace of mind. So take advantage of Simply Safe's holiday deals. Get 40% off your new home security system by visiting simplysafe.com/Tony. Again, that's simplysafe.com/Tony. S-I-M-P-L-I, people. And you get 40% off your entire system. Don't be a dope. Use the code.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Ward K in Vienna, Virginia, and it's an original Christmas song by Miche Fambro. The late Miche Fambro passed away last year. He was a touring musician all his life who lived in upstate New York in Geneseo, and I know where Geneseo is. It's right near Rochester.
At a cream ale.
The song is I Remember Love from his album In the Christmas Mood. The lyrics are by his wife, Wendy Fabro. The album is available on iTunes, and more music is available on Spotify and at Bandcamp. I really like Christmas songs. I mean, I think I like the Mel Torme song better than anything else, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open
sure.
Fire. But I like Christmas songs. I don't dress up in those dopey sweaters. You know, it's not my side of the street. But I like Christmas songs. Booger McFarland joins us now, and one of the great gifts of having Booger on is that we can talk about college football and we can talk about pro football. And we're going to start talking about college football because Booger's alma mater, Louisiana State University, the alma mater of James Carville and many other people, hired Brian Kelly out of Notre Dame. And I'm going to ask you, as a player, as a grad, as all of that stuff, are you okay with this hire? Are you great with this hire? Are you bad with this hire?
You know, TK, I'm really okay with it. I think on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it an 8.5. I don't think it's a perfect hire, but you know, considering that a perfect hire would have been Nick Saban, sometimes you have to base your expectations on relative to who's available and the timing of it all. There were some candidates that probably should have been interviewed, but they decided to re-up with their schools, you know, James Franklin, Mel Tucker. And so when you look at the landscape of where the candidates were, who was available, who could have been hired, who was the best fit for the situation, let's understand what LSU needed. LSU had a coach in Ed Orgeron that everyone said was the perfect fit. Like, he's Louisiana through and through. And once he won the national championship, things went downhill. So LSU needed a grown-up at the front of the room. They needed somebody buttoned up, somebody that you didn't have to worry about what they were going to say or what they were going to do, somebody to lead the program. And if you look at Brian Kelly, he is that. That's number one. Number two, LSU needed a proven winner. We weren't at a position where you could take a chance on a guy like a first-time coordinator or a guy like a Joe Brady who was a hot name a couple years ago. LSU was not in that position. So you needed an established winner. Check that, because BK has won everywhere he's been, and he's won at the highest level at Notre Dame. He just couldn't win a national championship. And I think lastly, Tony, here's what I add. LSU needed somebody that wanted the job. And if you look what Brian Kelly has done in his career, the only thing he's missing is an opportunity to win a national championship. Well, guess what, Tony? The last three coaches at LSU have all won national championships. So when you look at the fit, when you look at what LSU needed, what BK needed, I think the fit worked well together, and I'm ecstatic. I talked to BK, and I told him, hey, just come down to Louisiana and be yourself. Like, I don't worry about the whole fit thing. Everybody says, does it fit? Well, guess what? When Urban Meyer came from Utah to Florida, did it fit? I don't know, but he won. When Nick Saban came from Michigan State to LSU, did it fit? I don't know, but he won. When Les Miles, a Michigan man, came from Oklahoma State to LSU. Was it a great fit? No, but he won a national championship. So the fit will matter if and when you win. If you win, then it's a great fit. If you don't, then people will say, well, he just never really fit down there.
How are you with his new Southern accent? Do you like that?
Not a fan of the accent. Here's what I've been telling people, and you will love this, okay? I think the microphone was overmodulated, okay?
Okay.
I think it was a microphone issue.
Yeah, family. Do you think he'll get in all 10? Because all those guys you mentioned didn't go, well, Saban may have gone the length of his contract. I don't think he did. I think he went to the Dolphins before the contract was up. Do you think he'll get in all 10? Brian Kelly, do you think he will?
No, he's not going to get in all 10. But guess what? When the Anaheim Angels signed Albert Pujols to a 10-year deal, did they think they were going to get 10 great years of Pujols? No. What you're signing up for is to get the prime years of his career. I think what LSU is signing up for is they want 4 to 5 prime years, and we'll see. Now, you got to pay 10 years because that's what the market dictates. Very similar to when Tony Kornheiser's contract is up, you got to pay what the market dictates. So LSU had to do the same for 10 years. I get it, but is he going to stay 10? Probably not. But the administration is hoping to get 4 to 5 good years where they can judge him on Louisiana talent, on the expectations of LSU. BK is wanting to get that period of time with those Louisiana recruits. So it's going to take 1 or 2 cycles, and then you'll start to be able to judge him based on what he does on the field.
It's interesting. I'm going to go backwards just for a little bit because it's interesting to hear the way you are talking about him and the way you evaluate why what LSU needed and why they got him. It's almost like you were not surprised. I was stunned. I was just stunned that LSU would reach out to him and that he would say yes. I never saw that coming. Did you?
Well, I didn't see it coming, but I knew my AD, Scott Woodward. He's a big game hunter. He's kind of like you, Tony. Like when it's time to play golf, he's not going to the Muni. He's going to Pine Valley, okay? Okay? That's the type of AD I get. Like he's not going to the local Muni saying, hey, can I pay $19.95 and get in the Twilight Rick? No. He wants to go to Pine Valley. He wants to go to Augusta. He wants to go to Baltusrol. He wants to go and play Cypress Valley. Like, those are the places that he wants to go. So when you look at the coaching search, you knew he was going to go big game hunting. So while I did not know the name Brian Kelly was going to be the guy, I knew whenever we signed a coach, it was going to be a name that the nation recognized, and it was going to reverberate across the country, which it did.
Oh, it did. Oh, it absolutely did. I'll stay with college football for one more question. I asked this of Paul Feinbaum the other day, and I think it's really the only relevant question. I believe, and I'm sure you believe as well, that Cincinnati deserves to be in the playoff. They did everything they were asked to do, and they beat Notre Dame, and they deserve to be in the playoff. Do you think, particularly with your background playing at LSU, do you think that Cincinnati's one of the 4 best teams in the country?
Tony, I don't think they're one of the 4 best teams, but this is not a system that's trying to get the 4 best teams. This is a system that's going to get the 4 best resumes at the time of submitting the resumes. Mm-hmm. Now, if you ask me who I think the 4 best teams are, I think Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State is the 4th best team from a talent standpoint. Here's the problem with that. When it came time to take the test, Ohio State didn't pass the test. When they submitted the resume in, the resume said, what about that other project you didn't turn in? And so when I give the grade, I can't grade them based on what I think they are. I have to grade them on actually what they turned in. And Cincinnati's resume looked it better. So when you look at this playoff, people judge this playoff based on what you just said. Can we get the 4 best teams? Well, it's not about the 4 best teams. It's about the 4 best resumes submitted on the time or submitted at the time when the resumes were due. And Cincinnati's resume over the last year, and I throw out the last year, Tony, because of this. Never, ever forget this. A year ago, they went down to Atlanta and they played this Georgia team that we all thought is one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the country. And they went toe-to-toe with them and they had a beat.
Right.
And
that's
there was a personal foul. There was a personal foul that caused Cincinnati to lose that game because Georgia took the field goal and won the game. But I think the 13-person committee in that room thought about that. And they said, we've seen them against Georgia. And now you fast forward through this season, they've gone undefeated. So they've done everything we've asked them to do. How can we not put them in? And so I think that's why Cincinnati got in. Their resume looked good. And there's also the human element based on what we saw a year ago.
Totally fair. Totally fair. I'm going to switch to the pros now. You mentioned earlier that the number one candidate for any job in college, the best, is Nick Saban. You've watched Nick Saban coach, and you've watched Bill Belichick coach. When we see them, and over the last 72 hours, they put on a masterclass. Saban crushed Georgia, and Belichick understood exactly how to play in Buffalo when you were at that game. When you look at them, and you're a player, I'm asking you as a player, have you ever played for a great coach? And what makes a coach great in your mind?
Yes, I played for a great coach. His name is Tony Dungy. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer and deservedly so. Here's what makes a great coach a great coach. They adjust and they take the game plan each and every week and they morph that game plan to fit you, the team, the circumstances, the elements, the situation. Let's take a look at Nick Saban. Nick Saban went into a game against Georgia that had the greatest defense that some of us have ever seen. They went into a game where they were underdogs for the first time in probably a decade. And Nick Saban said, how can I win this game? Well, first of all, I got to motivate my team and tell them nobody believes in them. That is a powerful tool, Tony. When you get 17 to 21-year-olds backed in the corner, especially talented 17 to 21-year-olds, you back them in the corner and you say, nobody believes in you. Secondly, what's the weakness of the team we're playing? The weakness is their quarterback. So I'm going to make your weakest link beat me. I'm going to make the thing that you don't want to have win, win. And Nick Saban put on a master class of making Georgia's weakest link, Stetson Bennett, the quarterback, beat him. And, Tony, what you saw on Saturday was this. You saw a difference of 20-plus points in the quarterbacks because Alabama as a team is not 20 points better than Georgia. But Bryce Young is 20 points better than Stetson Bennett. Okay? Now, fast forward to Monday night. Bill Belichick, again, how can you put me as a player in the best situation to succeed? How can we take advantage of the other team's weakness? Tony, let's rewind a little bit. Go back a couple of weeks when Indianapolis went to Buffalo. Remember what happened? They rushed for about 300 yards. Jonathan Taylor went crazy. And the Colts blew out the Bills. Now, fast forward back to the game Monday night. Inclement weather. It's snowing. It's blowing 50 sideways. Bill Belichick said simply this. I can do what Indianapolis did. I'm just going to do it on a greater level. And, Tony, they ran the football for every play except three.
Yeah.
All they did was take advantage of a weakness, which we saw a few weeks before. The weakness of the Bills' defense is they are a smaller unit. They like to run and hit. But I don't know if they want to get in a phone booth and deal with Hercules. And Bill Belichick made them do that. So, Tony, a long-winded answer, which I hope you got, of answering the question about what makes those two great is they are able to morph and put their players in position to take advantage of the other team's weakness, and they do it every week. And they are not boxed in a corner of saying, we're going to do it this way. They do it whatever way they have to win games.
Oh, there's no question that Bill Belichick in New England, when they play Buffalo, might throw it 46 times and run it three if he felt that would be the way to win. And this leads to a philosophical question for you. Because we're not, you know, we deal in philosophy here. We're both college guys. Does a great coach fit himself to the talent, or does a great coach go out and get the talent he wants to play with? Because I would suggest that maybe the talent on the Patriots isn't the greatest in the league. It isn't, but it's what Bill Belichick wants. So that's why I asked that question.
I think what a great coach does, Tony, is he has core beliefs. He has philosophies on how to do things. And then what you try to do is you try to go out and get the best players you can. And if and when those players match your core beliefs, it's a home run. If they don't, then you have to adjust. Okay? Let's remember when Randy Moss went to New England. And Tom Brady threw for 50 touchdowns. Randy Moss caught 23. They were scoring 50 points a game. Tony, remember that? They were blowing everybody out.
Yes.
They didn't run the ball a lot, Tony. Think about that. All they did was throw it around a lot. I mean, you got Randy Moss, you got Edelman, you got all these Gronkowski. Like, it was the greatest offense we've ever seen. Now, he doesn't have Randy Moss. I don't know if you can name two of the Patriots receivers, Tony. I
don't know.
I don't know if you can.
Don't know who they are. Nope. Nope.
But they are a top of the AFC, and they're running the football because he's adjusting to the talent that he has. So I think a really, really good coach has core beliefs on how they want to do things, but they're able to adjust based on what they have and based on the situation and based on the tendencies in the league right now. Because the NFL, Tony, is a smaller league. Think about this, because the offenses are trying to play in space and throw the ball, so the defenses are getting smaller and smaller so they can run. And Belichick is saying, okay, if y'all want to go right, I'm going to go left. The Patriots have a big offensive line. They're physical. This offseason they went back out and got Trent Brown, who's like 6'9", 350. So when all the league is going right, Bill Belichick is going left. He's got a rookie quarterback. It's old school. So, yeah, he's able to do things based on what he has, but he also has core philosophies about how he wants to do things. Sometimes they match, sometimes they don't. And when they don't, you just adjust.
It's great to have you on the show. Thank you, Booger. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Anytime. Have a great one, TK.
Booger McFarland. When you get a guy who can talk about college and pro, it's, you know. We'll take a break. It's wonderful. Chuck Todd, when we return, Chuck Todd is going to try and be better this week than he was last week. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's officially a winter wonderland outside your window or inside your mind. And what do you want to do when it's chillier than a snowman's cheeks? You want to bundle up with layers and layers of comfy goodness. We've been waiting for this. Spread the cozy vibes to literally anyone in your life with MeUndies. They've got super soft gifts for everyone near and dear to your heart. While you're at it, why not get a little something for yourself too? You deserve all the comfy things. So they want me to talk about if I'm a onesie person or a matching PJ sets person. I think I've established that I'm matching PJ sets now that we have got the growing family and the kids are cute enough to stay in one place.
Yeah.
But how about this for the endorsement? You know, cold morning here in your nation's capital.
Gonna snow.
So I was trying to get dressed in the cover of darkness as I was escaping from my bedroom. And you know what? I pull out Christmas tree MeUndies. How about that for season's greetings?
There you go.
But then when we got here, I went to the website and this changes everything. They now have Simpsons themed underpants.
Simpsons? The Simpsons, Homer and Bart?
Yeah, Homer. I wasn't going to go with just Homer and Bart, but sure.
Well, I don't know the others. Yeah. I don't really watch the show.
You don't remember a great line? A dog like this, you have to feed every day. Get your festive on with the new MeUndies holiday collection featuring classic plaids you know and love and sweater-inspired prints that will become favorites. All these, you know, the sort of ugly sweater theme has become such a thing. Their undies, loungewear, and sleepwear are made out of soft, breathable, stretchy fabrics that are ideal for sitting fireside with loved ones and chatting about love over a cup of hot cocoa. Get the family photo you've always dreamed of. See the matching PJ sets. Or make every day a spa day with new plush robes and plush slippers. Whatever you decide, everyone will be rolling into the new year comfier than before. Available in sizes extra small through 4XL. And I know Nigel's been very interested in 4XL.
Yes. Excuse me. Yes. Very excited about that.
MeUndies has a little something for everyone on your list. MeUndies has a great offer for Tony's listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping right to your door. Your days of fighting for your life in the mall parking lot,
over.
Over. I'll take the over. Yeah. To get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK.
And as we like to say around here, nothing says underpants like hot cocoa. Right? Nothing.
Caution when hot.
Good job.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Rod Laver Jr., not Rod Laver. Rod Laver Jr., who writes, I've attached my new single, Not Much I'm Into, Only You. I like that title. Hope you played on the show. The song is about the familiar dissatisfaction of life while still having someone who makes it all worth it and is live everywhere you can listen to music. Every time you play the mailbag jingle I sent you, it makes my day. I hope this song makes a listener's day in the area of critical commentary. Tony, do you love the Beach Boys Today album as much as I do? Well, it depends how much you love it. If you think it's one of the greatest albums ever made, then yes, I do. I think it's such an underrated gem in their catalog, representing such a fun period of songwriting. I really enjoy this music. But when he says it's about the familiar dissatisfaction of life while still having someone who makes it all worth it, and there are no lyrics, that's sort of in his own head, isn't it? Like, how would I know that? Like if Rod said to me, well, what do you think the song's about? Well, without lyrics, it would be tough for me.
Yes.
But it's wonderful. Well, Michael, just let us know if people like Rod Lover Jr. want to send us music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonycornheiser.com.
And I should point out, he does go by the name The Unreliable Narrator. That's what he releases his songs
on. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, so it's The Unreliable Narrator.
So we have Chuck Todd, and Chuck's a smart guy. Chuck, how would you know what this song was about if it doesn't have any lyrics?
I agree. I mean, it feels like music I guess you might ride your bike to? Peloton, maybe? I don't know.
It's lovely music.
Yeah. It is.
But how can I decipher what's in his mind if there's no lyrics? It's like if Louise Gluck sent a blank page. How would I know what it was about?
It's about the pain and suffering.
I sort of feel this is some sort of veiled shot. The unreliable narrator plays in the unreliable prognosticator.
No.
Thank you very much.
Unreliable. You were 3-0 at one point. You won the Thursday game.
No. I took a picture at 3-0. I took a picture at 3-0. I felt really good.
So you didn't take a picture at 0-4 in the last four.
Didn't.
Chuck finished 3-4. He's 42-48-1. He can get to 500.
Yeah, it's within sight.
500.
Yeah.
But it was a bad end. It was a bad end.
Me and half the NFL could get to 500.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, here we go. The Thursday night game is Pittsburgh +3 at Minnesota. Minnesota loses every game in the last second. Every single game. Pittsburgh, I don't care that they beat Baltimore. They aren't any good. They aren't any good.
I'll be honest. That was a $400 touchdown pass for me by the Lions. And let's just say it wasn't $400 in the good.
It wasn't going good. It wasn't in your zone. Okay.
Yeah.
Who you got in this one? So you hate Minnesota.
I mean, what do you I did not see Pittsburgh showing a pulse. But, we got to remember Mike Tomlin is Mike Tomlin. I didn't see it. But that was a division. The other thing, though, you got to remember, that was a division game. And those division games, you got to be aware of. I just can't bet on Pittsburgh. You can't bet on Roethlisberger showing up twice. Short week, the old man.
Yeah, I agree
and
with you.
I
agree with you.
Give me the Vikings reluctantly, but I'm not putting real money on it. I'm with you. I'm sort of done with the Vikings as trusted.
Oh, Wilbon, look, this is his division. Wilbon says three of the coaches in his division are rancid and should be fired this moment.
Right. And by the way, though, what's not fair is I actually think the Packers, that guy, LaFleur, does not get a lot of credit, partly because he's in a Pop Warner division. But he deserves a lot of credit. I think he gets way in. Nobody's talking about him. I know Belichick's Belichick. Nobody's talking about LaFleur as coach of the year. And, when you got to manage that crazy ego and keep that team together, I don't know. Just saying.
Baltimore looking for a bounce back. Baltimore at Cleveland, yet another division game. Cleveland, I think, was off last week. They had the bye. Cleveland is one of the hardest teams to figure in the entire league. You don't know. Baltimore, this is their DNA. They win close and they win late or they lose close. I mean, it's always close, and they don't score. Their last four games, 10, 16, 16, 19, that is not a Super Bowl offense. I'm not trying to talk you off Baltimore because I think there's a bounce back here, but this is a very hard game to figure.
And the spread is?
2.5. Baltimore +2.5. +2.5?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Baltimore's getting 2.5?
Yes.
Oh, I would take them. I thought they were giving. What would you do? Go ahead.
It's the Cleveland. Let me ask you this. Baker Mayfield going to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns next year?
I believe he will be, yes. But I don't think it's because they're in love with him.
What if Gardner Minshew were their starting quarterback?
Gardner Minshew, when he started in Jacksonville, had three straight weeks where he went, wow, and then he lost his last 8 or 9, something like that. Yeah, so I don't know.
Imagine if he's with
a good team.
There's a lot of talent that's surrounding that. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Is he Kirk Cousins? And I mean that not as a negative, like as a comment, like put him, where he's just, pretty competitive. I don't know. Mm. I'll take the Ravens and the points just because I can't bring myself to bet on. It's not like Cleveland you trust either. You don't feel good about Baltimore, but do you feel that great about Cleveland?
No, I do not.
You just know that it's going to be. Here's what I hope. We need some lake effect snow because these two teams don't score anyway. So make it interesting and put some weather on the field, will you?
That'll be good. Las Vegas is at Kansas City. Las Vegas got beat by the football team last week. Did not look good. Did not. Kansas City has won five in a row. They are not a juggernaut on offense. They are lately on defense. And again, and I know I said this a couple of weeks ago when I was wrong, but I think that Las Vegas has the feel of a team that could capsize. I just do. So much stuff went on there that none of them figured on.
Tony,
9.5's a lot, though.
We said this for a month on the Raiders.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and I don't know who that interim coach, I forget his name. I'll see
Salabia or something like that.
He's keeping that team together. You got to give him some credit.
So you'll take the 9.5?
No, in fact, I'm starting to get some confidence on Kansas City. It's less about the only issue with Kansas City that I think if they don't make the Super Bowl, it'll be because they can't run the ball, and that's that does seem to be their fatal flaw.
Do you want to hear an interesting statistic on Kansas City? It's Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Mahomes had five touchdowns in the 5-game winning streak. Mahomes has only 7 touchdown passes. He had 5 against the Raiders in one of those games. 5. So he's got 2 in the other 4 games, and they're winning anyway. So somebody must have said to Patrick Mahomes, you don't have to do it all by yourself.
Right.
We got to start spreading it out. And that's what must have been happening, right? It's very odd.
Well, the defense has just started to play really well. You know, they
yes,
got a couple
very
guys
well.
Back, and that's been big key. I still think they have a running. I mean, well, all these offenses where the 2-deep zone has sort of scrambled them a little bit, the only offenses that have been able to push back against the 2-deep zone are ones that have a good running game. Packers have a good running game. Leonard Fournette looks like he's having a revitalization in Tampa. Kansas City doesn't have that, right? And I think that's they've struggled there. But I'm buying into the idea that for all the things we're talking about, Kansas City's figured this out, and they're going to beat the Raiders.
Okay.
And cover that spread.
Two teams, and I don't even know how they got this spread. I really don't. I don't know how they have San Francisco +1 against Cincinnati. Both teams were very disappointing last week. I mean, to me, if you said it was 1, it was 2, it was 3, it was 4, I don't even understand. San Francisco gets 1 on the road. Who you like in this one?
I never get Cincinnati right. I'll be honest. I feel like I don't have a good feel for them. And I just don't trust San Francisco 2 games in a row. So I'll take the home team. But
take Cincinnati. Give 1.
Yeah, I'm not very thrilled with it. I'm literally only taking it because it's at 1 point and a team's traveling two thirds of the way across the country.
Okay. Buffalo looking to bounce back. Buffalo at Tampa Bay. Buffalo is in need of something. Tampa Bay lately, oddly to me, their defense has let down. I know they're winning games, but their defense has let down lately. Brady's been great. Brady's an MVP candidate. I mean, the top 3 MVP guys right now are Brady, Rodgers, and Kyler Murray. I mean, I don't know how you pick anybody else at the moment. Tampa Bay at home, Buffalo needing a win, Buffalo getting 3.
I'm surprised Buffalo's only getting 3. I thought this line would be a little bit higher, but I guess there's this feeling they have to win. And in Buffalo's defense, I don't think they played poorly.
No, they gave up 14 points.
Yeah. I think the weather was that hard.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
I think it was just that hard. Well, Buffalo has to win, and I'd rather be on the side of the team that really has to win. And I think, and more so, even though you can say Tampa's playing for a 1 seed, but I actually think that 1 seed's pretty elusive for them right now. I think they're on some wrong side of some tiebreakers and stuff. So I'm
just take Buffalo.
I'm going to take Buffalo. Like I said, I don't love it, but I'm kicking myself last week. I believe I said I'm pressing my luck to bet against Belichick again, and it's a mistake.
Yes,
right?
You did. And, you said you're going to do this once a year. You're going to take Buffalo. Mm-hmm. You know, yes.
Well, it was against Belichick. I mean, I'm not going to do it in the next game when they play.
Okay.
Chuck,
but
Bruce Arians ain't Bill Belichick.
No, even though he likes to think he is, he's not.
Yeah, I know.
The Los Angeles Rams, the team I picked to win the Super Bowl when they got Matthew Stafford, the guy I picked to be the MVP, appears I was wrong. I can live with that. They're getting 2.5 at Arizona. When they played this game at L.A. earlier in the year, Arizona killed them. 2.5. I actually thought they'd be getting more than 2.5, especially since Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are back, and they went on the road in garbage weather. Well, they beat a bad team, but they won the game on the road. Now they come home. 2.5, I thought it would be more. Who you got?
Well, this goes to the same the Rams don't have a running game. I think we talked about this last week, and this is hurting them. And Stafford is the Statue of Liberty back there. And if you don't have a running game, that becomes a problem. I'm reluctant to take to bet against an underdog in an interdivision game, though, and that's why I'm struggling here, and I think that's why the line moved from 3 to 2.5.
Yeah.
I don't want to take the Rams here, but I think the Rams are the right side.
Okay.
Because it's division game. I I'm going to do it.
Speaking of division games, we end with Dallas at Washington. The Washington football team.
Important.
Yeah, everybody says,
we want Dallas.
The 21,000 fans who actually go are screaming,
we want Dallas.
The football team has now won.
The fans are thinking about shaking right now. They're not shaking yet, but they're thinking about shaking.
Yeah.
Plug in the electric bandwagon.
Yeah, Washington's won 4 in a row. As you know, and if they win their division and they change the name, they're crazy to change the name. They'd be so stupid. Everybody loves the football team.
Yeah, they really do.
Dallas is a better team. They're a better team. But, you know, Washington's won 4 in a row, and Heineke's a folk hero. Dallas is a road favorite, divisional game, -4. Who you got?
By the way, this is a Rivera, he did this at Carolina too, where you'd sit there, you'd watch their games, you'd be like, that's not that good of a team. And then all of a sudden you're like, they're 10-6?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what he's done here with the football team. He figures out how to make the other team play a grind it out. I mean, he just, you know, clearly he knows how to make another team play out of their style. 4's too many, and I know I don't get the football team right, and I know the monkey's not going to be happy with me on this one, but 4 points at home? You get more than a field goal at home in a division game? What we've been just talking in a game that's going to be hopefully probably a little cold weather here, right? Maybe?
I don't think. You know? I don't know. Rain, I thought there was supposed to be some rain. Not real cold weather, I don't think.
You know, but just enough to make it Rivera sloppy.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, a sloppy game with Rivera coaching. By the way, is it 2 games in a row it was 17-15?
I don't know. I haven't kept track of those numbers, which is odd for me because I usually do that.
Yeah, that is. But I think Nigel? Do we have that right? Was it 2 weeks in a row that the football team won that by that score?
Let me check their scores real quick.
Taylor Heineke, folk hero. He's a folk hero. He's great. Love him.
He
was taking math courses, economics courses as a grad student at Old Dominion 2 years ago.
Back-to-back week, 17-15.
Well
done.
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, I mean, think about the lotto odds of that. Okay, you know? Come on, man.
Particularly 15. That is not a number that shows up a lot in the NFL.
That's not
a number. So,
Taylor Heineke getting tutored by Ryan Fitzpatrick, perhaps, when he's taking those courses, right?
Ryan Fitzpatrick now finally getting an operation 12 weeks after he hurt his hip. What?
I'm ready now.
Is that? It's bizarre. That's bizarre. He'll never play another down for the Washington team. Never. He'll go somewhere else.
Did he play a game? He started
the first game.
The first quarter.
He got hurt in the first quarter of the first game, whatever it was. He's never going to play another down. He's not. It's too bad. All right. Thank you, Chuck. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck. Chuck Todd, boys and girls. You can see him on Sunday, of course, Meet the Press, where he will not be talking about football lines. And if we just gave you Chuck Todd, that would be enough. But we do better than that. We give you a monkey.
See the monkey? He's scritch, scritch, scratching. Watching his iPad, smoking and laughing. Hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple latte.
Sing along,
not
kids.
Not just going to the zoo. Reginald's got the bites by two.
Sometimes he throws his poo.
And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
So I get this email from Joey. Says, you need to settle an argument between me and my medium-sized masculine child. While driving and listening to the show the other day, the bit with the monkey started, and my son asked me what was going on. I said, this is the part of the show where Nigel makes football picks, but they say the picks come from a monkey at a zoo. Seeing his confusion in my rearview mirror, I shrugged and said, I don't get it either, but the theme song is fun. Then he persisted, Dad, are you sure the monkey doesn't make the picks? And for the next minute, my brain began to question my long-held assumption. I'd always assumed the monkey bit was just Nigel with Andy Kaufman-level commitment to the concept, but I began to wonder, does Nigel really go to the zoo each week and bother a monkey every week? How are the picks communicated? And how have the proper authorities not put a stop to Nigel harassing this poor primate each week? I suspect I'll never get a straight answer, so I'll hang up and listen. What do you got?
Well, it's real. No, I go down to the National Zoo every week. We've got a special agreement with the monkey, Reginald, and we've got special access.
Yeah, I don't really understand this, why you would try to burst your kid's balloon like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, would you say Santa Claus doesn't exist? I mean, would you do that? Why would you do that, Joey? Why? So what happened this week?
Honestly, Joey, you have to think about that one.
Yeah, thanks, Joey.
Yeah, so I did go down there, and he was on a Zoom conference. Turns out Reginald was giving a deposition in a very troubling case. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this case down in Texas, where a monkey bit a child, allegedly bit a child, at Halloween.
No.
Well, it involves the Texan special teams coach, his girlfriend.
Really?
Yes. Brian Banks, the special teams coach for the Longhorns. His girlfriend is a stripper, famously known as the Pole Assassin.
Wait, the University of Texas or the Houston Texans?
University of Texas.
Okay, because you just said the Longhorns, and they're not, I don't think the Texans are the Longhorns. That's UT's.
Okay, sorry. Yes. So
an assistant coach there. His girlfriend is a stripper.
Yes. And she has a pet monkey named Gia. And apparently, this is where the story gets confusing. The plaintiffs say that there was a sign saying, oh, yes, you can play around with the monkey at this this Halloween house that you have and give high fives to the monkey. Well, the plaintiff tried to give a high five to the monkey, so he says,
and the monkey bit him.
Yes. So now there's this long lawsuit, Gia the monkey being accused of this vicious attack on Casey Klinkenbeard.
I wonder where this guy's going to be coaching next year. it's not going to be the Houston Texans.
Yes, exactly. So we took a break from that. It was very nice for the judge to let him take a break from that. And the first match we gave him was Cleveland at home, giving 2.5 against Baltimore. Now, I'm not sure if you'd seen this, but he showed me a nice video clip of him getting inducted at the Hall of Fame, which is in Cleveland. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as a member of the Little Rascals.
There you go.
Didn't realize that he was, I guess he was an early member.
I guess.
Yes.
Because I can name the Rascals, and none of them were named Reginald.
none in that later crew. So clearly he's got ties to Cleveland. We'll take the Browns in that. Next match we gave him was Tampa Bay at home, giving 3 to Buffalo. And this was just a recent photograph of him, I'm assuming it was down in Tampa, eating avocado ice cream with Tom, Giselle, and the kids. Loves that avocado ice cream.
Who doesn't?
Yes, yeah, just so tasty.
I don't. I doesn't.
That's horrible.
Who doesn't? I doesn't.
Yes. Okay. So he will take Tampa in that match. And the final one we gave him was the Washington football team at home getting 4 against Dallas. And he likes the Washington football team a lot. But this, he showed me an old faded photograph of him at a rodeo with Tom Landry, Danny White, and Randy White. So, ties to the Dallas area. He will take the Cowboys.
And he did this himself. This is what the monkeys do.
Yes.
Okay, Joey.
It's legit,
okay?
Joey.
All right. We'll take a break. We will have email and jingle when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's Highland, got your heelless taxis and your friends. Here comes Tony's Highland, got a retail for all of these folks.
Banjos. I'm a sucker for banjos. Thank you to Joe and Molly Chambers for that rendition.
At Bootsy and the Hammer, that's what practice looks like.
Yeah. I'd like to see them learn how to play the banjos. They'd have a career. They could be like the Fabulous Baker Boys.
Sure.
They could have banjos instead of piano.
Steve Martin, famously a great banjo
player. He's great at it.
Legitimately great.
Do you want to do the Bethesda Bagels in?
Yes. I also want to clarify, Jeff Banks with the University of Texas. So I just want to clarify. I was getting it messed up, so I apologize.
Again, where do you think he'll be coaching next year?
Not in Texas. No. Yes. No. Maybe he'll be working at Bethesda Bagels. Maybe not. We love Bethesda Bagels. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in, and you'll be thrilled.
All righty, then. That'll be it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me say, and so I quit the police department, got myself a steady job, and though she tried her best to help me, she could steal, but she could not rob. Thank you, Paul McCartney. Thanks to our guests today, Chuck Todd, Booger McFarland. Thanks to today's sponsor, Simply Safe and MeUndies. Great read, Michael. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review.
I have a new promo code for you. TK Mint for Johnny O.
Ooh, TK Mint, M-I-N-T Mint.
Yeah, Mint Chip. I want to know your thoughts.
That's great. I like Mint Chip. And I like the
green one.
Chip.
Okay,
I
you
like
need the green one.
Yeah, not the white one. I like the green one. Yeah, I do.
Mint, TK Mint.
From Mike Villarosa in Chicago. I can ignore most of your serial killer-like tendencies, including eating over your sink rather than a plate or having decades worth of extra shoes. However, I draw the line in not putting maple syrup on French toast. He wants maple syrup on French toast. From Joe Glomsky. Mr. Tony, here are some thoughts on maple syrup, real versus fake. Real maple syrup is essential. Putting fake syrup on pancakes is akin to, in the words of Henry Hill, putting ketchup on egg noodles. Always pay for the syrup upgrade. From Andy Shaner, emailing from his home in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, not his work in Madison. On Wednesday's show, you said the work being done on your fireplace is in, quote, the family room, or I mean the kitchen, or the den, the room where we do most of our living, unquote. Do you mean to tell me these are all the same room? Are you 100% sure that Michael hasn't already moved you into a nice studio apartment? Old people get confused sometimes. Love the Mitch Albom interview. A haiku for Phil's mom from Shad. The thought of Phil's mom doing a breakfast spit take. I did a spit take. From Justin Johnson in Arlington, in Virginia. I recently learned that there are podcasts about podcasts and found that there are podcasts about your podcast. I'm thinking about putting together a podcast about the podcast about your podcast, but it will not actually be about your podcast. Would you have any interest in coming on my podcast to talk about those podcasts, not your podcast? No. No. From Simon in Galway in Ireland. I don't know about you, but I am all in for book one. That's a very funny reference to Robert Griffin.
Right.
From Ryan Barwick in Greensboro, North Carolina. Since you gave DG your phone number, does he know he has to call you on his birthday? From Joe Rizzo in Oak Hill, Virginia. After 4 days of feast and football, there's only one question from the Littles connective tissue. What was your impression of the Beatles Get Back documentary? I haven't. Not yet. I'm gonna. From Ryan Cannon in Reading, Pennsylvania. I guess the potato chip wars are coming from southeastern Pennsylvania. Utz and hers are fine, but the best potato chips are Goods chips out of Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
I don't know those.
I don't know that. No. P.S. This is a great P.S. I know someone who knows Taylor Swift. It's such a great P.S. From Carla Corrado. Great. Now I can feel multiple senses of rejection, or is it a sense of rejections? Whatever. You're going back into the mailbag, pulling out old emails that were initially overlooked, and reading them months, if not a year later. I listen attentively to see if my witty take on Pat Forty's banal, unheated toilet seat at the Olympics gets a read. No, it does not. How about my Urban Meyer opening a Waffle House in Jacksonville email? Again, no dice. Feels like I'm attending a former boyfriend's wedding where I failed to catch the bride's bouquet that was aimed directly at me in a mocking show of relationship trash talking. That, Mr. Tony, is rejection. And this is why, for years and years and years, we have loved Carly.
We do love Carly.
This is sent from Jeremy Martin in Madeira Ranchos, California. Email dated March 2021. I know it's early spring, but take all your money and place it on the Milwaukee Bucks to win the NBA title and the Atlanta Braves in the World Series. Forget Chuck Todd, Rufus Peabody, Reginald, and someone you'll learn to love named T-Boy Latchley. Forget them all and trust me on this one. Also, in the coming months, be on the lookout for vagabond Winnebagos in your neighborhood, which is great. Bill Isaacson wrote to the same theme. Based on your recent historical investigation of emails you put in a pile and forgot, I looked back for any unread emails from earlier this year and found one I thought you might find of interest from May of 16th of 2021. Chris, it's great that Andy Beyer picked the Derby winner, but you need to be looking with a longer view than the Derby. Crypto, Tony. Buy some crypto. Don't be afraid. Crypto is better than betting on a monkey, and it is not what you put in the machine as you exit the parking garage. Crypto can make your life better now that things are opening up again. Stay optimistic. I know you're tired of the little house falling apart, but maybe a 40-foot trailer will appear so you have someplace else as a potential retirement home. And after all we have gone through since 2020, it's not like the Nats are going to deliberately tank. But keep Wander Suero, and there's no way that sand is going to make the Toy Hall of Fame. At some point, we should talk about Shannon McNally. She's just lovely. From Andrew Bonds in Charlottesville, Virginia. I think I speak for many Monday listeners when I say that for a fleeting moment, I thought my email from last year was finally going to be read on the air. Twould that it were so simple. Okay. And from Chris Van Sells in Forest Hills, Maryland. Dear Grandpa, this email is about Jeannie. I think she's great. Maybe you can read this sometime in 2023. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Hola, nosotros somos Pineapple Landscaping y escuchamos el show de Tony Kornheiser. Pero este show apesta.
On a quiet Christmas Eve, silent snow upon the ground, and a hush of starlight far above. Scent of pine tree in the air, decorations everywhere. It's the time when I remember love. When I was young, I thought of toys Santa brought, of teddy bears. I ran downstairs to see my Christmas joy. Though the years have come and gone, still I tiptoe down the stairs. It's the day that I've been dreaming of. For the gift that waits for me underneath the Christmas tree is the time when I remember love. When I was young, I thought of toys Santa brought, of teddy bears. I ran downstairs to see my Christmas joy. Hark the herald angels sing, hear the voices caroling. Merry Christmas comes when we remember love.